I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X, the Everything app. It's all happening on X, at JWright929. As always, you can listen to us on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. If you're away from the radio dial, though, you can stream us on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. We're also available on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, the SiriusXM app. We got the live streams going up over on YouTube, Twitch, and X, the Everything app. It's all happening on X. George Ruggiero is, of course, the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Let's welcome to the program my company, as he is each and every Monday. He, of course, is the maestro of fun and games here in the Mid-South area. He's the host of Writer Than Write Trivia. We will play that today, 2 p.m., for your chance to win a Denstals gift card, $25, of course, to the outstanding chocolates and sweet shop here in the Memphis area. He's on the Everything app at Cerrito, the website, Cerrito.net. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings. How are you, Jeffrey? Great to be here. We got an action-packed
a loaded show. Monday.
Oh, there's so much going on. So much going on.
So much going on. We will focus our attentions, of course, on the FedEx St. Jude Championship, which wrapped up yesterday in dominant fashion for Scottie Scheffler. We also got the AP poll, so we now have our coaches poll. We have our AP poll. We have all our preseason polls ready to go. I have some great news for your number one Notre Dame hater, Kevin Cerrito. We'll get into that. CJ Hurt is going to join the program like he does each and every Monday. It appears we've gotten some news from ESPN. I believe Don Van Natta over at ESPN has the exclusive. According to sources, the NBA's found no evidence that Steve Ballmer funneled money to Kawhi Leonard via sponsors. Wonder how they reached that conclusion. We'll discuss that with CJ and more. We'll get into the list to kick off our number two. Lots from the weekend to get to. Chris Harrington's going to join us to kick off, or I should say, during the middle of hour number two. He has his consumer's guide to the Grizzlies schedule. We'll get his thoughts on what the best games are, five-star games, four-star games, everything in between. We'll talk to him at 1:35. Then we'll play Writer Than Write Trivia. Again, your chance to win a $25 Denstals gift card. Always a popular gift idea. Gift idea, whether or not you're winning Writer Than Write Trivia. Then we'll get into a few other stories that we haven't quite made our way to. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But I think let's start with the overreaction. And before we get into Scottie Scheffler's dominance, Kevin, I went yesterday. My wife and I went yesterday. Number one, I think my number one overreaction was I would put my hot weather athletic performance against anyone. You know, I just realized that's what I'm built for. Yesterday, after a full day, we go in and pick up my daughter. She wanted to swim at my parents' pool. Even after a full day at the golf course, I still put in the time in the pool. You know what I mean? Like, I'm built for this. But the other thing that I was really struggling with is what takes you away when you're on the grounds is, God, what a great event. And really start to finish. And in a day and age where I think it's so easy to complain and it's so popular, honestly, to complain and to be a hater, every single year I go, I'm completely blown away at the operation, the logistics of it all. I think it is the best run event in the entire city, whether you are parking in general parking, the ability to have that many people get in and out in a pretty orderly, timely fashion, it's always mind-blowing. And then this year, you factor in the grounds ticket got you free water, or I think it was free Coke products. They had some food options. They had like salads, wraps, burgers, dogs, bratwurst, grab and go. The efficiency of all that, the, you know, you didn't sit there and go, where's the water? Especially considering how hot it was. I'm just always blown away with how great of an event it is. And that doesn't even factor in the smiles on the face of the St. Jude kids that are out there, the smiles on the faces of the kids that are just watching. I'm just always blown away. But I think the real struggle that I have is there's this larger question of, is what's best for Memphis also what's best for the PGA Tour? And it's probably somewhat of an unknowable question, because I think if you're around the country, you sit there and go, well, of course not. Well, that also completely discounts the fact that this is a institution here locally that's always been well supported, regardless of the field size.
Yeah.
And they don't have that many events that are as deeply tied to a community as they are, like the market, you know, if you will. But I do think it's tough when you're sitting there and you're watching what is a quote unquote playoff event, and clearly the heat is getting to everyone, although there's this weird dynamic going around when you talk about this tournament from outside, from an outsider's perspective. I guess the only place on the planet that is hot in August is Memphis. Seems to be the case.
There's a lot of hot places, and it is hot, a record heat across the United States, but I mean,
places you play a golf tournament are hot.
Channel 3's forecast for yesterday was very hot.
Correct.
I mean, we're talking triple digits.
Aaliyah said at one point
heat index.
The National Weather Service had an alert that popped up like around 3 o'clock that was like, it's hot. And yes, it was hot. My larger point is this has also been a hotter than usual tournament, but it's also hot everywhere that you'd be playing a golf tournament, just about.
If you were doing it right now, yes.
Correct.
I mean, it would be hot.
They're going to go to Atlanta in 2 weeks. Guess what? Going to be hot.
Probably will be hot.
Now, I do think they got a bit of a reprieve. They're going to St. Louis next week, and it looks like St. Louis is not going to have, like, if they would have been at St. Louis this weekend, they would have basically been dealing with similar weather, but there's going to be a bit of a reprieve this weekend, so maybe there won't be as much conversation. But I do think that's kind of the struggle that you have when you're at the event, which you go, you look and you see how much it matters to everyone that is either participating or everyone that is attending. And then you're weighing it with the competition aspect. And this is largely, I would argue, the fault of the PGA Tour, more so than it is anyone that's involved with putting on the tournament. The idea that it's a quote unquote playoff event, like that doesn't pop, if you will. Like, you know, when you're at a high stakes, when you are at a big game and you can feel it, you don't exactly feel the buzz when you're watching this event. And I would argue that's
not... you feel the humidity.
But that's not an us problem. I would argue that's a... they haven't figured out the playoff.
Well, and they're changing it again, though, right?
They're trying.
I mean,
but that would be in 2028.
But their changing
of the playoff is actually going to be almost minimizing it, where their plan is to basically have one event that encompasses like a stroke play element that then translates into a match play element. But basically, think of it as like one event and then be done. So they're not even trying to tweak the current formula that they have.
Yeah, but they know it doesn't.
It's not
work, popping.
Yes,
but of course you can't just label something a playoff and get
their problem is atmosphere.
But it's also golf. So what is a playoff? What atmosphere?
Well,
like
the larger
golf problem
is in golf. The tour doesn't actually want it to be a quote unquote playoff, because what can happen in golf more so than any sport is your best players are not guaranteed to win. Like Scotty ends up winning, but this was the only playoff event that Scotty had never won. And this was the course that Scotty had played the most without a
win
up until yesterday. But like the larger point is like, you can't guarantee the big names will be there. And so that's obviously a huge part of the business, which is, hey, for 4 days, you can come and watch the world's best. Mm-hmm. That is part of the business of it.
For sure. So
then it kind of ends up becoming a redistribution of money to your best players, which is fine, but then that's not really a playoff. So there's competing interest there. But like, I don't know. That was kind of the other thing that just strikes you is,
well, who did you follow around? Where'd you set up?
So we started off with we got out there early because Rory was out there early. Caught him at 10. I'd like it to be noted up until the 18th hole when I stopped following him after 17. When I was on the grounds, Rory was 5 under. He was, let's see, 7 over without me. So again, I guess I let him down. Then what we did was we posted up at 14, birdies and bubbles, where the Andrew Michael, like the food stuff is. That's a nice spot. It's shaded. You can watch everybody play a really hard golf hole in 14.
Did y'all eat there? Right?
We did. Split a birdie and then split a John T. Hedge burger. And then Aaliyah got the rosé snow cone. The burger and the chicken sandwich were great. The rosé snow cone did not get the highest of reviews. I did not try it, but I'm reporting from that. Then we went over to the front nine, watched the leaders tee off. Then we picked up Tommy Fleetwood for a little bit, hopped over to the par 3 fourth. We watched the last four groups hit their shots into that. Then we went over to 9 to watch the last four groups. We were kind of just like staggering, bouncing around, and then we went back to the back nine for, so you kind of realized like, and you kind of realized it was over with Scotty about the fifth hole, but like once you started realizing like, all right, he's got a 6-shot lead, my wife was like, let's go get some air conditioning, so we did that. So then that we left around, I don't know, 4-ish, and
so how long that seems like a long day.
9 till 4.
Yeah. A full day.
Correct. Again, I would put my performance in the heat against anyone.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, you and I are somewhat unique about it. I know there's a lot of other people in Memphis who share our belief of, you know, of preferring the heat to the cold.
Yes.
And, it's like, once it's hot, no matter if it's 103 degrees or 110 degrees.
There comes a point where it's just hot.
It's like, it's hot.
Yeah.
You know, it's hot. And you know, you'll want air conditioning later. You know, you'll be sweating, and you know you need to be hydrated. But it's hot. It's summertime.
And they did a great job. There was a concerted effort to have lots of opportunities to go find shade and available. Like, you didn't – it was not like the good old days of – if you spend enough money, you can find shade. They did a great job. It felt like almost every single hole had some form of publicly covered and shaded area where you could grab a seat, sit down and watch. And that was by design.
Yeah, and we of course we always we have our pre-show conversations. I map out what we're going to cover today, and you brought up the just how well run and how like just professional, big time the event feels.
Yes,
and so I would love for you to go into like more detail on what you feel like. Why does it feel like or seem like it might be one of the best run events in Memphis?
I think a huge part of it is it doesn't matter if you're sitting in the 18th skybox giving how much money or whether or not you're someone that just bought a day pass and you're picking up water, a hot dog, whatnot. There is an effort to make sure that you're having as good of an experience as possible. There are plenty of people, volunteers out there to help you. Hey, this is what we're looking for. Even from everyone from the, if you're someone like me who can basically map out the entire golf course, know how to get, like,
you're a golf guy. You're
I don't need that. Well, I've also been around Southwind enough. Like, I don't need the help. But if you
they
are someone that,
you for help.
Well, it's like if you're someone that just showed up for the day, you're like, hey, the PGA Tour's here. I know nothing about this place. You can easily get navigated to where you need to go. There's spots to park. They'll drop you off at a very a great access point. There are always people around to help you get you to where you need to go, even offer suggestions. Very helpful. The amount of I would argue concessions, everything. Like it's all just there. Like it can be as simple as if you want to do the cheap option, that's there for you. If you want to do the higher end stuff, that's there for you. Like it can be. Normally, it's like when you're serving that many Masters, it usually winds up feeling hollow.
Right.
This one is more of like, no, they are making sure whatever you're looking for, they can provide it. And then on top of that, it's the experience of you can just see how much it matters to the people working the tournament. And I'm not even necessarily talking about the people that it's their job to work the tournament. It's the volunteers. Like,
right.
You know, I mentioned on the ninth hole, as we watched the leaders come through, there was this just kind of interesting scene in the head of these people that have basically been working the exact same spot together for 5 days. And after the last group comes in, you know, one guy picks up his chair, kind of tips his cap to the rest of them, goes, I'll see you next year. And then kind of in your mind, you're like,
well, one more time. Yeah, you'll see him.
Exactly.
You can say that next time.
Like that's the first striking thing is like, yeah, they will see each other next year. But then after that, I don't know. And not that that's like the primary concern, but it's like you can feel how much like pride they're taking in it. And I think that's maybe what displays itself is whether or not it is a tournament official, whether or not it is a volunteer, there is a sense of pride in this event. And I think that is in the end, it's like what makes a certain product better than another? It's like usually it always boils down to this. It's like, somebody cares about it, and somebody takes pride in it. And that's why it's like one of the most disheartening things is when you see the family business that gets bought out by the private equity firms because you realize it's like that's getting further and further away from the people that it matters to.
Right.
And
the money matters more than
correct. And
like,
I'm not saying like, hey, if you sell out, like you're evil. Like I would sell out too. But like I'm talking about as a consumer. You know what I mean? Like I dread the day Buc-ee's is eventually going to sell out. Whether it be the kids or whoever, someone's going to sell that thing, and I'm going to dread that day. But as long as it's still being run and owned by the same people, it's like, you know, there's going to be a point of pride. And I think that's in the end what stands out about this event.
Yeah. And I mean, all of it comes together. I'm glad you had a great time. And it obviously was a fantastic weekend. I'm still in my boycott mode, Jeffrey. Like I'm boycotting everything to do with the tournament. I've already activated it. You know, they're taking the tournament away from us. Well, you know, I'm done. I'm done with the PGA already completely, 100%. Not even going to tune in for a little bit on a Sunday like I used to. Didn't even consider going. Trying to find a different way to donate my money to St. Jude than buying a ticket to the golf tournament. So I'm done with the PGA.
Well, you touch on an interesting thing because I was also thinking about that. Because obviously a huge part of the PR campaign is the kids of St. Jude.
Yes.
And I guess there's a couple of things that like struck me out there, which is number one, would no one know what St. Jude is without this golf tournament? Because, like, that seems to not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that does strike you is there were a lot of opportunities for a lot of kids that probably need a good day. They got to have some good days. And, like, the tournament does provide that. And so, like, I don't want to see that go away. But at the same time, like, you're also debating, like, I feel like the group that has taken up the defense of the tournament,
mm-hmm.
like, the number one thing is the kids. And I guess that's kind of where
I go back to how much of your ticket goes to the kids is my question number one.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question because don't hold me to this, whoever's listening. I'm doing this off the dome.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a number floating around last year or last week about the amount of money that's been donated to St. Jude from the golf tournament. And it's something around like $86, $87 million.
Right.
Which is obviously a phenomenal number. But like then I started doing
more
the math.
More than I've given, yes.
Correct. And I start doing the number in my head. It's like, well, I think the stat they used to throw around is as an organization, they raise $2 million a day. And that's like
St. Jude, yeah.
But like we're kind of setting aside the amazement of St. Jude
and what they do.
Correct.
Or there's no question about it.
But and like I'm sitting there going like, okay, so basically they've donated what takes St. Jude about a month to raise over the entire
history
of the event. And it's like, I do understand Danny Thomas's impact of when the tournament was back at Colonial and he would bring celebrities in and he brought the president of the United States in who hit apparently a ground ball hole in one on the fifth hole. Like it brought attention to it, but that was like a very different time where it's like it needed the attention. Now it's like how much attention is there somebody that's unaware of St. Jude that turns on the golf tournament and is like, oh, that's St. Jude.
Oh, you think there's one a year? Maybe. I don't know. Because it's important for St. Jude, right? To be given these platforms so we can have these conversations. We're like, well, everybody knows about St. Jude, right? Part of the reason everybody knows is because the more the places that they're at, the more that they're everywhere, right? And so I do think there should be, there's an idea of having annual events to elevate St. Jude, but could there be something better is a question. I'm curious on what the raising of the money is, because sometimes it's like you do, and they're doing great. They we know what the overall money is, but like, could there be something that you raise even more money for St. Jude down the line?
I know the St. Jude argument, and I think it's a valid one, would be like, we're not going to turn away attention.
Of course.
Like, and
no, it's great. I mean, I guess what you're trying to say, or what maybe what we're trying to get to, or maybe I'll just say, if you're not even saying it, but like, is there somewhat, and this happens if you're fantasy football owners all the time, this happens to people who are fans of their team all the time, you overvalue your players. And I do wonder, do we overvalue the tournament as an entity? Do some people overvalue its impact on St. Jude? Maybe, I don't know. Does this tournament how impactful is it in the long run for the overall operation of St. Jude? Do people overvalue its impact on the Memphis economy? Does it overvalue the impact of Memphis as a major league, big city? Or is it just like the big blow is going to be to the people who like golf and like to go to a golf tournament or just want to work at an event? What is it? Do we overvalue the impact of losing this? St. Jude will continue, and they will continue to raise money, and I think FedEx will continue to advertise with sports, and they will continue to work to elevate St. Jude in different ways. And so does this going away, is it really going to be that impactful overall?
I actually think when you're on the grounds, you come away with the conclusion that it's undervalued locally. And I think about it in these terms. My wife, who had little to no interest in golf mm-hmm. until meeting me, and I wouldn't even say like she's become a golf fan. She's just learned to like consume it, I guess. It's her favorite sporting event. And this is a woman that loves basketball, loves the Grizzlies, but it's like her favorite thing to go to is always this.
Is it because of the social element of a golf tournament?
I don't know, because it's just me and her scrambling around.
It's
like
just,
it wasn't.
What? She just, yeah.
This wasn't us it's posted up in a tent with, you know, in one of the VIP suites that, you know, hobnobbing. It's not right. That. It's I think it's the outside. She bought an outfit, you know, bought like a golf out. Like, and
I mean, it's the closest we can get to having like a Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, like, and it's obviously not to that degree, but there's like it's in the same vein. You know what I mean?
I'm going to the golf tournament.
There's no question the girls are dressing up.
Yes,
and they're now it's not wear your dress with the hat and whatnot, but it's like
and really the clothes. Like as far as even like SEC tailgating experience
correct.
Of the when the girls dress up yes. for the football games and stuff. So you don't really get that.
And
experience.
It is like the perfect recreation of exactly what you're talking about there because it's like. The girl's getting dressed up, and the dude's just trying to figure out, like, what can I wear that makes me look the least fat? Like, or just, like, what am I going to be comfortable in? Like, you know what I mean?
There's not necessarily a replacement for that.
Correct.
Do we need to start dressing up more for Tiger football? But that's just not the vibe for Memphis football. Some girls do dress up, and some guys dress up for the football games, but it's not, you know, at all the same of that. You're like that Southern...
it's the event. Like, I don't know what we call it.
Southern event, outdoor. But it's like you think of like, it's not like the Kentucky Derby. You're not wearing a fancy hat. It doesn't have a gimmick to it. But you are putting on a dress that you would wear to church, possibly. You could also wear to a sporting event.
It's
on the
something
same
you
day.
Would go
you're
buy.
Not wearing that to a Grizzlies game.
It's something you would
it's
buy.
A totally different outfit for Grizzlies.
Well, it's like when we were talking with Chris last week.
Kind of a fashion expert on this show here today.
Well, like Chris made the point of, the difference between football games and
right.
and basketball games. Like
night.
Basketball's the night out,
right.
whereas the golf tournament does feel like an event. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously a limited number of days you can go, and so there's that aspect. But the other thing that has stood out to me in the last 5-6 years, because, I mean, I have some experience with this golf tournament in some form or fashion almost every year that I've been conscious. Uh-huh. There is a growing, and maybe this is golf, maybe this speaks more to golf, but this isn't just the country club crowd showing up to go to the golf tournament anymore. Like, it is the amount of license plates you see in the parking yeah. lot is that no, that stands out. Kevin, I think I heard 4 or 5 different languages mm-hmm. when I was just out on
oh,
the
wow.
grounds. Like,
mm-hmm.
the, and again,
but you're not going to get that. At the new whatever it's going to be.
I would find that unlikely.
So, like, the downgrade to the minor leagues, like, it would be, and that's what, as part of the reason, is my pushback, is, like, I'm reading coverage, and it's, like, this people just repeating and parroting these PR
talking points,
words and
talking points
from the PGA, and it's, like, I can't. Like,
or from
whoa,
the tournament,
whoa, whoa.
Or from the tournament.
Like, if the Grizzlies got downgraded to the G League tomorrow, like, it's not going to be the same vibe in FedEx Forum for those games.
100%.
And there's not going to be the same demand not at all. It's going to look go to South Haven. You can see what it's like when you have the Stars of Tomorrow playing, like at Landers Center. Shout out Landers Center, great facility, like great remodel happening down there, and the Hustle.
Well, this
the
is
Hustle
also,
team does a great
but
job.
But this is also the
but,
problem
like,
that you're
the,
that we. When you get downgraded, oftentimes the people that are responsible for the show,
mm-hmm.
they can take that personally. It's like, no, it has nothing to do with that.
It has
like,
nothing to do with
that's the thing is like the one thing that really stood out yesterday is whether or not this thing gets downgraded is it ain't our fault. And
right, we're doing the best we can. You're saying it seems to be well attended,
so well financed,
yeah,
well run. Everything.
It's part of the greed of the PGA, slightly, right?
I would say that's where it starts.
And then
the PGA Tour. Now, I also don't think that they have acted irrationally. I keep coming back to that point. Now,
I mean, they're changing the stuff. I understand. Yeah, I whoever's fault it is, I don't think Bud Adams acted irrationally by bringing the Oilers to Memphis, or necessarily the NFL. It was our fault we didn't get the NFL team, right?
Primarily.
In the 90s.
Now, did Bud Adams have to call us Memphanites? No. But
no, but
that,
not a
if we would have
word.
If we would have done our end earlier, we wouldn't have been in the situation.
Right, we wouldn't have been in that situation.
Correct.
But also, like, eventually most people got over it and they watched the National Football League. But the...
Seems like we watch a lot of it.
Yes. But golf is different, you know. This is different.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, by getting downgraded, that's the other thing you have to take into account.
It'll probably still be an amazingly run event because so many of the people who are accustomed to being at this one will be at the other one, at least initially.
Well, it's not like this tournament has always...
We may not even have another one. Yeah.
I mean, I think about it. Most of the time that I volunteered, so in the early 2000s, like, if we got a top 10 player, that was a big deal. Now...
Yeah, I agree. And now...
Well, it's like you're also dealing with the changing landscape. I think if we want to go and talk like who is the most at fault, I'm not really blaming the tour, and I'm not blaming us, and I'm not blaming FedEx. What I really am blaming is there is clearly in my mind this unsustainable, inflated golf economy that was completely brought about by the Saudis entering golf because Phil Mickelson had a gambling debt.
That's all the root of it.
And he didn't want to sell his houses. Well, so because Phil's looking for this giant payday.
Yeah.
He splits the two tours, and now you're in this, we have to keep our talent, and what is the other side offering, which is unbelievable money? Well, now you've started to have to spend the amount of money that it takes to be competitive and keep them, but what it's done is it's created probably this inflated sense of, oh, well, this is just what golfers make now, because that was the other thing that I noted yesterday. I have never... notice so many private jets flying over my head on Sunday.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think that is a direct reflection of A, these guys have never made more money, and B, they all got private jets. And that was them on Sunday. Like, I was joking to Aaliyah, it's like, at what point do you think Rory told his caddy to make sure that the pilot knew to have the plane ready to go? Like, was it the 16th hole, the 17th hole?
Right.
And then, like, but it wasn't like, oh, I just saw one. It's like, there's another. There's another. There's another. And I'm sure there's some executives or whatnot, like, but it's like, that was noticeable.
Interesting. Yeah, no, but it all comes to money, really, is whether you want to blame, whoever you want to blame, it's come down to, and also this golf is in this restructuring pattern. But
correct.
Like, how is that impacting us locally, right? That's all trickles. And Memphis is losing the tournament as it is, as we know. We have one more year left. And
well, then there's also this other thing to square away with, which is I also don't think this is irrelevant. Yes, the Memphis is going to lose the status it has obtained. We had to have FedEx buy that status. Like, we didn't have that. It's not like, oh, we got rewarded for putting on a good tournament. In the end, it was...
But we were putting on a good tournament.
Correct.
But that's not why. Still Memphis.
In the end, it was FedEx said, do you want this... They told the tour, do you want this money to be the title sponsor? Like, yes, we do. They're like, cool, we want the golf tournament. Problem solved. Now...
And now there's obviously been some separation between FedEx and the PGA, or at least
correct.
A future separation is...
Certainly in terms of being the title presenting sponsor.
Oh, I wouldn't give a dime to him, no matter... I mean, that's me. I don't know the whole story, but
well,
if
that's kind of the other thing is you don't know exactly how bad the relationship is.
Everybody who watches golf knows what FedEx is at this point, so they can move on and spend their ad dollar somewhere else.
Well, I know this. Whatever the prize trophy is going to be, it's not going to be the FedEx Cup.
Right. Well, FedEx needs to spend their money on
which
on,
also might be a lesson. Don't maybe start your trophy with as a activation.
Yes. Because it's going to be a different...
Yeah.
Different name. It could be Crypto.com Cup.
Correct.
Probably not, but like that's the most recent example of... Of
the Emirates. I mean, at least they
like
did pick
an arena name.
I think if you're gonna
sounds terrible.
If you're gonna pick an airline, probably go with one that doesn't have to make money. And it's just being funded as a vanity project.
Yes, I mean, there's. That was the golf's mistake there, naming it FedEx, and obviously, you know, I mean,
I'm glad they did.
Yeah, no, and it worked out, and I'm just. I want to know more of the story of why this isn't happening, because we keep, you know, speculating on, you know, it's the heat. It's the how the money and stuff goes. And I would like to know a little bit more. Obviously,
I don't think FedEx. I think it starts here. I don't think FedEx wants to be the title sponsor of the PGA Tour at the price tag that the tour is offering. Now,
so they're raising the price on FedEx, and they're just not interested in paying this inflated price now. And so it's more FedEx saying no, but then
correct.
In turn,
now there are reasons that they would be saying no, and there's also this argument of should the tour have maybe worked with FedEx a little bit more, especially when FedEx has saved this tour's bacon a lot.
Mm-hmm. Where's the loyalty?
But that also would go against the fact that the PGA Tour has now a for-profit and taken private equity money.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we've got to – I mean, it was a great weekend, right? But it can't be – we can't have other great weekends like this. Memphis as a whole, as a community, we have other great assets that we ruin ourselves and don't need other organizations to ruin, whether it's Barbecue Fest or whatever that we need, that people are passionate about and or well-run, organized events every year that spotlight the city, yet we're trying to screw some of those up, and we kind of got those back on track. So there are different ways we can, you know, channel our energy on the things that we still have. And that we could still, that can't be taken away from us.
No, I do think the other thing that stands out, it's tough to just start history.
Well, that's, well, sure, but in sports, I think it's not anymore, right? Like in sports, you could start history because you have, everything has changed so much that you want to make sure you're a few steps ahead when that next change happens. Like the NBA started this cup and they've got these games in Las Vegas. Like Las Vegas apparently was ready to, in the position for that to happen. And the naming of these cup, FedEx was ahead of the curve for a second to be like, let's name this cup after us. This is great. Like, what's the next evolution?
I don't,
FedEx
see, like,
could have had their name on the NBA's. They don't need it, but you know, What conference is the Monster Energy Conference now?
Big 12.
Could have been the FedEx conference if they didn't want it to be. They would rather have Monster Energy. Like at FedEx.
At $30 million versus $200.
FedEx putting their logo on the field at Simmons Bank, like that was unheard of recently. But now everybody is starting to
correct
do that type of stuff. So it's like being a few steps ahead and figuring out what is the new thing that you can attach. I think you could. I think sports are changing, you know, rapidly, especially with NIL and college sports, that there is a way to position yourself into creating the new history.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is you can maybe create an event, but like, let's use your Vegas and the NBA Cup example.
Sure.
Now, granted, that might have been different priorities, but they're moving the thing out of Vegas because nobody went to it.
Right, yeah.
But what if it's the, hey, we will host this so that we can make ourselves the most attractive candidate in expansion, which is what we inevitably, what we do care about.
Like, and that's
there's always
whether,
like,
that played a factor or
correct
not. Vegas has been talked about for a long time. But I'm saying you can, there's going, these leagues are reinventing a lot of what they're doing constantly, like with the creation of this cup in the NBA. And obviously, golf reshuffling. So it's a matter of being positioned in the right spot. And Memphis, unfortunately, as a market, we're very reliant on FedEx and AutoZone to help carry the weight on a lot of these things because we're a declining population market.
And there's a lot of other factors at play about, like, where is sports headed? All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt joins the program. Let's talk to him next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify.
RX only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
CJ Hurd is a Grind City Media personality. You can follow him on the Everything app at ConRadicalness. You can also see him each and every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd, kind enough to join us now. CJ, Ohio State now number one in both the coaches and the AP poll. Oregon sits at two. Is there any way the Big Ten, in your mind, doesn't win another national championship?
I don't think the Big Ten has ever won a national championship because the Big Ten doesn't share national championships. Only the SEC shares national championships, right? Like only Alabama.
It is definitely a southern. It is definitely
Georgia
a southern thing compared to the rest
share
of the country.
A
yes.
Championship with South Carolina and Kentucky, right?
So yes.
My favorite team plays in that conference, and I will not be laying claim to anything that Indiana has done or what y'all allowed Ohio State to do that one time. Michigan did the best they could. Michigan beat Ohio State, and then y'all, the rest of the college football world, let those Buckeyes go on to win a national championship, right? Like, I don't claim none of that.
All right,
I sure as hell hope not. I hope Ohio State loses every game they play. I hope Oregon loses every game they play. I can't stand them dudes. Only SEC shares stuff.
Let's go ahead. If you don't care about your conference, let's just go ahead and trade Michigan and Memphis. We'll switch conferences right now. Let's go ahead. Let's make the deal. If you don't care about it, if you're on the other side, you would care about
it. That is fine. That is fine by me. Y'all go up there and play them dudes. Y'all got it. I don't like anybody in the Big Ten. And Michigan is going to be okay regardless of what conference they're in. Michigan is a brand. Michigan drives network money. People want Michigan because Michigan fans spend, they gamble, and they consume the University of Michigan, right? So if that's a trade that is out there, I'll gladly take it. I'm fine with it. It'll be A-okay. Notre Dame don't got to get in the damn conference to watch a Michigan.
No, I'm saying you, Memphis is in a conference. Are you saying, what are you saying about the American here? I said you would trade. You would be in the American conference.
No. Michigan would not be in the American.
I said let's trade spots, Memphis and Michigan. If you don't care about – no, you care about the conference. You don't want to be in the American.
If we get an agreement that as soon as that trade goes through, the American will cut Michigan so Michigan can be
No. Conference doesn't matter. Conference doesn't matter.
No. I didn't say conference doesn't matter. I said we're not sharing conference championships. That's what we're not doing. We're not sharing national championships for an entire conference.
What would ESPN pay? Like, I'm thinking about that. Because now ESPN doesn't have the rights to Michigan games unless Michigan's a road team.
Right.
Like, obviously. But, like, if you're Michigan, not that this is ever, like, a plausible hypothetical, but like that's the risk is that if Michigan decides they don't want to prop up the rest of the Big Ten, which there are plenty of arguments for, they're not going to go find a new conference. They would just go either start their own new conference, or they would, you know, go independent like Notre Dame and then play in the same. But so, like, but I mean, you got to think that that's probably worth more money than probably what they're getting from the Big Ten, right?
I would guess. And I would think Michigan would get close to what Notre Dame gets from NBC. And so that's a considerable
I would definitely
sum.
Think that's the starting number.
It might not be more, but I think that it will be close. And, ESPN might not be able to pay for it because they might not be able to afford it. But somebody can. You can't tell me that Amazon Prime or Netflix or somebody like that isn't look one of the streaming sites isn't looking around trying to find a way to get into the college football space. And Michigan is a brand. Michigan is one of the top 10 brands in the sport. You maybe top five, depending on the year, in the sport. So, yeah, everybody will fall over backwards to go get them. If Memphis wants to go to the Big Ten, let them go. That's fine.
They're not letting them go. They're not going to let them go.
If it were that simple, they would love it.
We would be there. We would be there already. But also, this is why we're having the Protect College Sports Act. This is why it's happening because of
maybe.
It's not happening. But it's one of the reasons. It's one of the reasons I like it. Like, it's one of the reasons I like it. We can't have this nonsense of a hypothetical of a Michigan becoming an independent just for money from a streaming service that may not even exist, be merging with another one in a few years. Like, that's not what I want for my sports. We've got to protect that. That's why I'm writing my congressman right now. Whoever it is, I don't know what district I'm in anymore. I'll ask.
I'll be honest with you. I don't either.
I'll ask Congressman Cohen who I should contact.
Wait, is he still congressman?
He's got till the end
of the session.
Yeah, he's got.
Okay. All right.
He's on the clock.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so the top 25 AP poll is out. What's the big differences here, Jeffrey? This just came out about a little over an hour ago. Is there a big difference between the coaches poll and the AP
Certainly
poll?
Certainly not early.
Yeah.
Because the thing that stands out is I think it's maybe in slightly different order, but the top seven teams are basically the exact same.
And it doesn't matter to CJ that the SEC has the majority of the top 13 teams.
It only matters to SEC fans. Like, that's absurd to me. Also, right, like, this is a
strength of schedule conversation.
It's that conversation where we don't know what the strength of schedule is because we don't know if these dudes are any good or not. We don't know if Tennessee's going to be good. We don't know if Oklahoma's going to be good. That we expect them to be. Sure, we expect Ole Miss to have something to say in a positive fashion. We expect LSU to be good. But last year, hell, we expected Clemson to be good. They have Florida in this thing. They have South Carolina up there as well. And you look up and those were some of the most disappointing teams in the nation. Like, it is absurd. I understand why you do it. I just don't pay it any attention. I understand why you do preseason rankings and preseason polls.
Yeah, too.
But when time comes for us to do to get ready for the postseason and decide who's going to be in the postseason, everybody's got to remember, just because you were ranked this particular week, just because you were ranked week two, that doesn't mean I should give you credit for it if you are no longer a good team, right? We expect you to be good in the preseason. And then 2 weeks into the season, we still expect you to be good. But you can fall completely apart later in the season, and I'm not going to give you credit in November for beating an opponent that was ranked in the top 25 who is no longer in the top 25.
If you fall completely apart.
But all of the time, I had people arguing with me, I think it was about Vanderbilt last season. And one of the things they were bringing up to me was, hey, look at this ranked win. And I looked at the ranked win, and it was South Carolina. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Now, I'm not giving you credit for beating South Carolina. I don't care where they were ranked when you played them. That ranking proved to be fraudulent. They are not a good football team. And too often, we allow the preseason rankings and the weekly rankings to matter come the end of the season when it's a completely different team. We know,
and that's why it's
all
relevant.
We know is what we know.
And that's why it's a relevant story and something to pay attention to today, because it is going to still matter for whatever reason. I agree with you, CJ. It shouldn't, right? It shouldn't matter. But like, if you don't completely fall off, if you like just have some major missteps, that preseason rankings can be enough to hold you still in it, right? Like, which is just it's not fair and it doesn't make any sense.
All right, so I looked it up. I have them side by side. 24 of the 25 in both the coaches and the AP poll are the same team. The difference is in the AP poll, Louisville cracks at top 25 at 24, and Clemson's in the coaches poll. If you then extrapolate it though to the others receiving,
yes,
the top 27 teams are all the same, just in a slightly different order.
Which,
yes,
the top 10 are the exact same teams. The difference is in the coaches poll, Oklahoma takes the 9th spot, Ole Miss takes the 10th spot. In the AP poll, Ole Miss takes the 9th spot, Oklahoma takes the 10th spot. The other key difference was Notre Dame is 4th in the AP poll, but 5th in the coaches. Texas is 5th in the AP poll and 4th in the coaches. So they flipped them
so
there.
Not much at all.
Like, it's basically...
The AP voters are looking at that coaches poll to figure out their ballot. Like the coaches poll came out last week. When did they have? When was their deadline for their preseason?
Theirs was 2 weeks ago.
They had the deadline was 2 weeks ago.
My actual theory is that both are kind of looking at odds, and the odds are kind of
because that is very close. What a stat that I saw was very interesting from Brett McMurphy, who covers college football, is the number of teams. CJ, you'd be interested in this. I'll throw a trivia question at you. Like, how many teams from last year's top 25 preseason poll from the AP poll? How many of the top 25 teams in the preseason poll were unranked at the end of the season?
8 of them?
That's a pretty good guess. Do you know the number, Jeffrey?
LSU.
So it was 3 in the top 10, I believe.
Yes, that's right. Yep. You've got that. Nailed that.
Was Wisconsin ranked to start?
No. Boise was, though. Mm-hmm. Tennessee was.
Yep.
SMU was.
Yep.
Tennessee.
I'm gonna say 10.
You are closer. It was 12. So you had Penn.
So basically half.
Almost half.
Penn State was in the top 5.
Penn State was like number 2.
I forgot about Penn State.
Clemson was 4. LSU was 9. Arizona State 11. Illinois at 12. South Carolina at 13, Florida at 15, SMU at 16, Kansas State at 17, Iowa State was 22, Tennessee was 24, and Boise was 25. So almost half of the it ends up unranked, just completely out of it. That is bananas.
Well, I think Brett also has this stat. With the exception of one season in 2019, every year for the past 23 seasons, one top team finishes the year unranked.
One top 10?
Correct.
So who do we got? Pick here, Jeffrey? This is going to be a new annual tradition. We got to pick which top 10 team will end up unranked from the AP top 25.
I mean, I think the problem is the cheater way to do it is pick your flavor of A&M, Ole Miss, or Oklahoma.
Well, do you not go Ole Miss? I hate to do that, but like, Oxford? They've got the somewhat rookie coach here.
But I trust
their
quarterback more than I trust the other two.
So you're looking at quarterback only, not necessarily who's...
If I had to pick of the three, I actually think I'd pick A&M.
Okay. And I will throw Ole Miss Homer at you for saying that. I'm willing to take the heat and say, I'm sorry, Ole Miss might be the one. They might be the one.
I'm thinking Oklahoma, right? Like, we...
Look at this. We're all going in a different one. This is great radio right here.
I know they got to the playoffs last season. And Mateer's coming back, and when you have that type of player at the quarterback position, somebody who impacts the game so much off script, I think that can be helpful for you. But man, this Oklahoma team,
their schedule's brutal,
and their schedule is brutal. And offensively, I'm still not sure if they're going to be good enough. I think they'll be fine defensively. We'll learn a lot about them because they go to Ann Arbor week 3. We go up and play Michigan.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Is it week 3 or week 2?
I think you're right. I think it's week 3 because week 2, Ohio State, Texas is not week 1 this year. It's week 2, and then I think the following week is Michigan and Oklahoma.
There's no – okay, so We all picked a different one of those three, but I'm going up a little bit higher because, I mean, think last year we had Penn State and up there at number two. Like, do you not think Texas has a potential, right? Could Texas be a bust again? And I don't think so, but like, that's not crazy. What about Indiana coming back back after that historic run and falling out of it? We know Notre Dame's not going to because Notre Dame could lose every game and still be ranked. But
they missed the playoff last year.
but Texas and Indiana, I wouldn't think it's crazy to think as well. But when is Oklahoma going to show up? I've been waiting, like, since they got to the SEC, I've been unimpressed by Oklahoma.
They got to the playoff.
Yeah, sure. That's impressive if Memphis does it. But I'm waiting for them to, like, I want them to, should they be, like, battling up there they're never in, like, the top three in the SEC, right? Or have they ever been in the top three in the SEC?
No.
Like, it's always a few teams better than them. They've never been like, this is the season for Oklahoma.
CJ, I was wrong. The big noon is going to be Oklahoma, Michigan, and then that night is Texas and Ohio State.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. It's the same day.
Good. That's going to be a fun weekend. I will say, on the topic of both Oklahoma and Texas, one of the things that both of those teams, which is odd to say because they're rivals and, you know, rivalries go, but with both of them, neither was particularly good on the ground. And that's what the elite teams can do, both on the defensive side, stopping the ball, and offensively running the football. So Arch Manning can be as great as everybody thinks Arch Manning is. Last year, Texas was let down more than a few times by poor receiver play and poor line play.
Yeah.
And that poor line play manifested itself by them not being able to run the ball consistently against some of the better teams. I will say something similar about Oklahoma, not in the receiver play. They had a bunch of injuries last season, if I recall correctly, particularly at that receiver spot. And then they just could not run the football well. And so if those two teams can't run the football with the schedule that those two teams have, I it would not surprise me at all to see one of, if not both, Oklahoma and Texas in the season unranked. Now, if they can run the football, then it would not surprise me to see one, if not both, Oklahoma and Texas playing in the college football playoff at the end of the season. But those would be the two I would have most likely to fall outside of the top 10, go from top 10 to completely unranked by the end of the season.
Well, I mean, you got to give Texas credit, though, for last year. They have the same quarterback, the same coach, and they were able to get off to a rocky start.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money, and most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
It's gone!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here, and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.